Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Hey, well, good morning, church. My name is Brandon. I'm the lead pastor out at our location in Hortonville, and I gotta say, I'm super happy to be here with you this morning. I wanna say hi to everyone who's online. I also wanna say hi to my church family out in Hortonville, gathering, worshiping, joining us right now. God bless you guys. I can't wait to see you next week. And here's my question for the morning. Here's what I wanna start off. I want you to ask yourself this. Is there anything godly in your life that you do that isn't actually for God, but it's actually for you? I want you to think about this. In all of life, it's easy to do the right things for the wrong reasons, isn't it? Our motives can take a good thing and make it a bad thing real fast. I remember the first time I preached a Sunday morning service at Big People Church. In the moments before the message, I felt something, and I felt it stronger than I've ever felt it in my life. And that was a sense of being utterly unqualified for the task. This feeling like, I have no business doing what I'm about to go do. And this feeling was so intense that I left. I mean, the worship team was still playing. And I left, and I went to the bathroom to collect my thoughts. And I was looking in the mirror, leaning over the sink, and all of a sudden I felt something wet. And I looked down, and my unfortunate area of my pants had come into contact with a Lake Michigan-sized pool of water on the countertop. And I'm already freaking out. I'm already going, what on earth is, I mean, this sermon's going to be terrible. And I don't even know, why am I here? What am I doing? And now it looks like I peed my pants. What on earth am I supposed to do? And I go to the paper towel dispenser and I try to, you know, that's not working. So I go to the air dryer thing and that's going to take way too long. And so I did the only thing I could think of. And I went back to the sink and ran my hands underwater and started doing this. And I just figure if I get the rest of my pants equally as damp, it's gonna match, it's gonna blend in. And no one's gonna know. But in that moment, I paused and I just prayed. And I said, Lord, if you don't show up, I'm in trouble. Lord, if you don't work in the hearts of these people, nothing I say is worth our time. And I just said, God, I depend entirely upon you. And so with that thought in my soul and that water on my pants, I went out and I preached the sermon. And as far as first sermon goes, you know, it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. I actually kind of surprised people. They were like, well, this kid can preach. I didn't know that. And so after the service, I had a host of people come up and tell me how wonderful the message was and how much they appreciated it and it meant so much to them. And in the weeks and months that followed that, I had several people saying, oh, when are you going to preach again? Oh, we can't wait to hear your next sermon. So you know what happened. The head of the little 27-year-old Brandon just started getting bigger and bigger. I was like, man, I kind of like that. I like that. I don't mind that recognition. It feels good to be good at something. Feels good to be complimented, you know? So the second time I went to preach, in the moments before the message, I was overcome with a very different feeling. I felt so eager to hear that praise again, right? I felt hungry for an applause. I felt this intense desire to be glorified. So again, while the worship team's still playing, I went to the same bathroom, kept my distance from the sink this time. But I prayed, God, would you take away this desire to be glorified? Would you take away my desire to be glorified? And I put my hand on my chest, and in my imagination, I pulled it out, and I said, God, take this, and just fill me with the desire for your glory, God, that people would be so impressed with you, not with me. And that was my prayer. And so I tell you know what? Every single time I've preached a sermon since then, and this must have been 16 years ago, every sermon I've preached since then, I've prayed those same two prayers. I prayed them just now. Why? Because it's easy to do good things for the wrong reasons, isn't it? Anything we do, no matter how good, no matter how godly, anything we do, if it's to hear this, yay. Man, I hope online in Hortonville heard that kid say yay like that. Listen, anything we do, if it's done to garner the praise or the applause of humans rather than bring glory to God, guys, we miss the mark enormously. And that's the point that Jesus is going to make in the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today. I'm going to look at two passages here. They come from Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6. What I want to do is read these, and then let's pray together. And I ask you, all of you, even the little kid, would you pray with me in your heart? And let's just say, God, if you have anything to say to me personally on this topic, give me ears to hear. And then we'll look at these passages a little more closely. And my simple goal is that you would leave here with a white hot passion to see God glorified through your life. So here it is, Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we know that the grass withers, the flower fades, but your word endures forever. And we know that that means that we need what you taught back then, today, just as much as anyone ever has. So God, would you speak through this text, Lord? Would you convict us specifically of ways we have used even godly things to accomplish our own glory? God, would you give us a more intense desire to see you glorified? Would you give us a passion for the name of Christ? Would you give us a passion, Lord, that people would know you and love you and give you the glory? We pray this for your glory and for the sake of a world who needs you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what's going on in these two passages here? What I just read are two excerpts from the greatest sermon ever preached. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. You can read it for yourself in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And if you've never read it this week, that's your homework. Get alone with your Bible, go through Matthew 5 through 7 and then talk to someone else about it. This is life-changing stuff. And one of the big points that you'll see that Jesus makes over and over and over again in his sermon is that God is looking for so much more than obedience. He wants the heart. In other words, in God's eyes, it's not just about external behavior, but what's going on the inside. And so to help us understand that, I believe Jesus creates a tension for us with these two passages. And the first thing I want you to see in these passages is that our faith is meant to be both visible and invisible. Both so that people can see it and done so no one sees it. Now, you might be like, this guy sounds a little bit crazy. Why do I say that? Let's look at just the first parts of verse 16 of chapter 5 and verse 1 of chapter 6. Let's look at them side by side. 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works. So Jesus says, there's a part of your faith that people should see. But then in the same exact sermon, he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Now, which one is it? Here's the deal. It's both. See, living the Christian life is meant to be both visible and invisible. There are aspects that we are commanded, like not encouraged, commanded to live out boldly before other people. And there are other aspects that we are strictly warned to live out discreetly. And now let's take a look at both. And what you'll see is that if you care more about people giving you glory than people giving God glory, that if that's your reality, okay? Or you think about if that's your proclivity. If in general you want people to look at you and say, that person's wonderful, rather than looking at you, they say, God is wonderful. If that's your modus operandi, you will be tempted to hide the stuff that God says, no, I want you to show that. And you'll be tempted to show the stuff that God says, no, I want you to hide that. Let's look at it. Let's start with visible, all right? The second thing I want you to see is that living our faith involves showing people Jesus. Keyword. Living out our faith means, like, if our faith is the real deal, there's an aspect of it that the world should see, and most specifically that is Jesus himself. Look at what Jesus says in verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. And who's he talking to? Well, there's a massive group of people. They weren't all the light of the world. You know who he was speaking to most specifically in this sentence was anyone who truly knows, loves, and trusts God. He says, if that's you, you are the light of the world. And you know what happens when you get a whole bunch of lights together? He says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Have you ever flown over a city on a clear night? All the lights shining in the darkness, it would be impossible to hide it, right? And there would be no point in that anyways, right? The point of light is not to be hidden. That's not the point. That's not why light exists. He goes on to say that people don't light lamps to put them under baskets. The purpose of light is to be shown, is to be seen, is to help see. You don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket. No, what do? He says you put it on a stand, and so it can give light to the whole house, so it can flood darkness and help everyone to see. That's what light is for. Light is meant to be shined in dark places. And so Jesus says, verse 16, so in the same way, Kind of like with the city on the hill that you can't hide, and kind of like the lamp on the stand that lights up the world around the people who live in that house. Here's what I want you to do. In the same way, I want you to let your light shine. Now, you might have read this before and said, all right, okay, Jesus, I wanna let my light shine. Let's do this. What on earth does it mean to let my light shine? Well, here's the deal. When the Bible talks about light and darkness, you know, it's talking about good and evil, truth and lies, hope and hopelessness, things like this. When the Bible describes the world as a dark place, it's envisioning societies who are lost, I mean, without God, immersed in sin, living in rebellion against God. Imagining societies where evil and selfishness and brokenness are kind of run rampant, that the world is dark means biblically that it's unholy and that it is without hope. But God is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. And so when the light of God breaks into the darkness of this world, what happens? Well, truth begins to cast out lies. Love begins to replace hate. Repentance begins to replace rebellion. Sins get forgiven. New life is victorious over death. Blessing replaces curse. Healing happens. Everything that had fallen apart the pieces start coming back together. This is what Jesus is all about. This is why he came. And he is the light of the world par excellence. So to live in a way that lets your light shine before others is to live in a way that shows them Jesus. Think about how Jesus lived. How did he spend his time? You know, everything that Jesus did, everything. I'm talking his healings, his miracles, his preaching, his teaching, his acts of mercy, his compassion, even the way he died. Every single thing that Jesus did pointed people to God. Think about that. Every single thing Jesus did was pointing, this is what God is like. This is what his kingdom is like. This is the relationship that you were made for. This is what sin has done to that. This is the path forward. This is how healing can happen. This is how reconciliation with God is possible. Every single thing Jesus did pointed people to God and called them to turn, to repent of their rebellion and come back to God and believe in him and receive life. To let your light shine before others means to live committed to the mission and the message of Christ while reflecting the character of Christ. I want you to process that. To let your light shine is to live committed to the mission and message of Christ while reflecting the character of Christ. And I'll tell you, it takes courage. You will. If you're going to follow Jesus, you will be tempted over and over and over again to hide that light. So you don't got to take any trash talk. So you don't got to take any mistreatment. So you don't, whatever the case is, you're going to be tempted to hide that light rather than let it shine. And what is required in those moments, what's required for that boldness is a greater commitment to the glory of God than a commitment to our own glory. What is required is a greater commitment to the glory of God than the glory of self. I want you to see the reason Jesus says this in verse 16. Why should you let your light shine? So that people could see your good works? Because what's the end result here? What's the ultimate goal? That seeing your works, they will give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That verb right there in that verse, to give glory, is the Greek word doxazo, from which we get the word doxology. To doxologize means to sing of the glory. And I tell you, that doesn't happen if you don't show people Jesus. People don't doxologize the triune God without the Son of God. They got to see Jesus. And so to let our light shine is with our words and with our way of life, we show people Jesus. But what about the invisible portion here? The third thing I want you to see is that living our faith does not mean putting on a Jesus show. Right? We show people Jesus, but it ain't a show. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. What does he mean by that? I thought he just said we're supposed to let our light shine so people see our good works. Now he says don't practice your righteousness in front of people. I don't get that. Listen, practice your righteousness there. Beware of practicing your righteousness does not mean hide your faith. What it means is don't use pious actions for ostentatious purposes. Now let's define that word. Ostentation. This means a pretentious display that is intended to impress or attract notice. Now, why do I say that that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6, verse 1? I say that that's what Jesus means. He's talking about ostentatious piety because the example that he points to in the very next verse is of hypocrites making big pretentious displays, holy shows, to impress people, to attract people to themselves. Verse 2, he says, thus, when you give to the needy, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. I want you to imagine the imagery that Jesus is evoking with fanfare and blowing trumpets and saying, everyone, look at me. Look, what's the goal there in that giving? Is that generosity because they truly care about people? No. Is that generosity because they truly want God to be glorified? No. Why are they being generous? So that people will praise them, that they may be praised by others. You know what the Greek word for praise is right there? Doxazo, the exact same word that Jesus used in verse 16. They want the doxology to be sung to them. So they're doing very godly things, very generous things. See, giving is one of those areas, one of many areas, that it's very easy to feign godliness, but actually be self-serving. Generosity is one of those areas where it's really easy to make people say, wow, he is so wonderful. He's such a generous guy. Rather than, wow, God is wonderful. Jesus says, you know what other areas are like this? Prayer, fasting. And he says, you know, there are plenty of ways to do good things for the wrong reasons. But if you do that, Jesus says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward, paid in full. That's all they're going to receive. But Jesus says, don't use generosity like that. Don't use godliness like that. Look at verse 3. He says, but when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do you process that concept? That it be so discreet, that it be such a non-show, that here I am giving with my right hand and my left hand has no clue. Even the feelings of, wow, I am such a holy person. Even my left hand going, boy, that right hand, oh, that Hillstad's right hand, boy, that's one holy set of fingers right there. That's how discreet. And what is the ultimate goal here? He says, verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret. Why? So that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So we today need to be taking notes. What this means for us today is that if our passion for the glory of God does not outweigh our desire to be glorified, it will taint everything we do, even the most noble of actions. In everything you do, even very godly, very good things, if you have a secret goal of garnering praise from other people to yourself, even the most righteous appearing things will prove to be self-serving. And what you will accomplish, Jesus says, that's your reward. How long that lasts? About 5 seconds longer than it lasts. You know how the good feeling that comes along from praise from people? You know how long that lasts? About 5 seconds longer than it actually lasts. That's it. You know how long the working your fingers to the bone, slaving for the approval of a boss or a parent or anyone else in life, working for their applause instead of God's applause? You know how long that applause lasts? About 5 seconds longer than it lasts. That's it. And Jesus says, if that's your goal, if that's your reason for doing this thing, you've got it. And that's all you've got. But he says, listen, if you're committed to the glory of God above all things, what you do, it will be used by God. If you're committed to the glory of God in all things, what's going to happen is you're going to participate in the flow of God's glory, the triangular flow of his glory, wherein you offer service to your neighbor because you want to glorify God, and then you do it in a way that makes your neighbor glorify God, and then here you got glory flowing in all three directions. God says, if you're committed to my glory above all things, you will be rewarded. Your heavenly Father who sees in secret, he knows your motives, he knows your hearts, he'll reward you. And what's the reward? Is it a gold star on our chart in heaven? Is it like a trophy that we get to carry around with us in heaven? No, listen. The applause was what they wanted, and that was their reward. If the glory of God in all things is what you want, that will be your reward. Your reward will be getting to be a participant in the flow of the glory of God. And you get to be a part of it here on earth and forever in heaven. That you go, God, there is no greater joy in my life than being a conduit for your glory. And I tell you, that's where our soul will find its ultimate satisfaction. And so what I want to do, what'll happen is that your life, your actions, your words will sing the doxology to God. So what I want to do here, I want to end our service by singing the doxology. I'm going to ask Alex to come back up. We're going to end by singing the doxology out in Hortonville. Danan, will you come back up and lead them in singing the doxology? We're gonna sing this together. But before we do that, here's my challenge to you, church. This week, would you set aside time to pray about this? This week, would you set aside time to ask God, honestly, prayerfully, say, God, would you show me any area of my life where I'm performing for other people instead of for you? Would you show me any area of my life that I'm using to appropriate glory for myself? Anything I'm doing, God, that's commandeering something in life and serving the purpose of glory coming to me instead of glory going to you. And then whatever he shows you, would you repent of that? Would you confess that? Would you ask for his help in that? Would you talk to another believer about that? And then simply pray, God, the prayer of my prayer is that you would increase my passion for the fame of Christ's name. God, give me a hunger for your glory. I invite you now to stand if you're able. We're going to end by singing the doxology. And now I'm going to ask you to do something just a little bit out of the ordinary. Online, I want you to do this with us, all right? In Hortonville, do this. It might be a little weird. Just go with me, all right? While we sing this, I ask you, will you lift up your hands like this, as if somehow you could bundle up all the glory that you could give and sort of lift it up to God. And let's offer, while singing this, let's offer our glory to God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father,
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful week, church, and we'll see you next Sunday.